But everybody else did, too. Okay.
He's in a college trip.
And it's hot.
In a tie, yeah.
It's August 23rd, 2019, and this is collective bargaining with the University of Central Florida Board of Trustees and the University of Central Florida Chapter of the United Faculty of Florida. It's approximately 10:12 a.m.
You got minutes to hand out.
I do. I have minutes to hand out.
He was doing so well.
There was a dramatic pause. There was a dramatic pause.
Okay, sorry.
Perfect. I was waiting for my cue, and then I was going to go into...
You can never have a great story without a dramatic pause.
Into the Bill Shatner School of Acting. When Barbara Fritchie was here, we had a different cue. It was called Barbara Kicking You Under the Table. Yeah. You're lucky it was Sherry over there beside you, Mike.
Yeah.
Because Barbara wore high-heeled shoes.
She
could get you pretty good.
Yeah, Barbara's over milking now.
Is she?
Yep.
Yeah, she's gone over the backside.
What does she do in Milwaukee?
Assistant dean of something or other.
Yeah.
Graduate studies.
Oh, cool. Oh, really? Graduate studies. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Well, and then, like, Northeastern universities, a lot of people who are on union work or bargaining teams, they eventually go into, like, provost positions or something. Yeah.
Well,
reading the contract, I was told, was 80% understanding the contract, reading contracts. So.
Yeah. Well, we've got...
You know, that's not that unusual because, like, every fire chief, every police chief was once a firefighter, was once a police officer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, all of them. A lot of them still are union members, even though they're management.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They still pay dues.
Dan Murphy's over there doing provost fellowship. Jim Gilkison, who used to be the chief negotiator, is now chair.
Yeah.
Look okay?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Minutes look okay from our end.
Okay.
Okay, good. Charlie,
no
the minutes are approved.
Thank you.
Hey,
John, it looks like you have a stack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, before we get through our stack, or start piling into the stack of cordwood over here.
Okay.
And since you're here, Mike, can we schedule additional sessions in September and October, since we're getting close to the end of the contract?
All right.
Because we only have one each month. And
okay. So what we'll do, John, is when the first time we take a caucus,
okay,
we'll get our calendars out and then come back to you with that.
Okay.
Is that okay, Sharon?
Yeah.
I just don't want everybody to say, oh, look, I've got a birthday party that day.
You don't want that on the record?
Yeah,
don't
have the record.
Fall gets crazy, yeah.
Bring cake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So going through our kind of checklist, we wanted to ask about a few proposals that have been sitting for a while.
Okay.
Because we also realized we had some that were sitting on our end, and you can see that we're trying to address them all here shortly. So one of them is Article 1, the recognition article. That was from May.
I thought we had responded on Article 1. You have the list there?
The last thing they did was a package deal, Article 7. I think we didn't maybe respond with a article.
Okay.
This is your list.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think our position on that has changed. I mean, we can give it to you again, but yeah. I think we said that when we did the package deal that we were content with both of those articles on our part.
And then the next one was Article 7, so the other one that was in that package. And the next one was Article 8, our Article 8, I think, the non-discrimination article.
Oh.
I think that we decided we were apart on parental status, and the last I heard, that you weren't willing to change, and we weren't either. So I'm not sure where we are on that. But.
Okay, so parental status is the only issue. Then Article 18, inventions and works.
Article 18, I had thought I was going to put on the table today, but that will come next time.
Okay. We're close on that.
We're close on that. We'll just.
Are you close enough that you want to send it to us ahead of time so we can see it before the next we meet again?
Maybe.
Okay. I'm just offering that as a possibility to help keep us on a roll.
Mm-hmm. I'll see.
We've done that a few times in the, mm-hmm. in the past. Then Article 21, the other employee rights. I've got a note to myself to ask about the information about the pre- and post-tax deduction for parking. Ronnie mentioned that she thought she had some information from Bill Merck, I think, about that.
It is not, whatever it was before, it is not now.
Okay.
In other words, you now, I just paid mine for the year because it doesn't help me to do it by payroll deduction. You don't get any benefit anymore under the new tax law. Yeah.
Okay. Well, those are the ones that we just wanted to pin you on.
Okay.
John, there was something else, too. I want to remind you about the ratification.
Oh, yes. Holy smokes. Yes. Thank you. So we ratified the impact bargaining.
Oh, good.
A couple weeks ago, right, Scott?
All right. Then we'll take it to the board.
Right. So that's because mm-hmm. we just noticed on the last board conference call or whatever mm-hmm. that wasn't on the agenda.
Okay, good.
We got to hurry, though, to get that on the board's agenda.
Yeah, but I don't have, I'll be able to do that.
Yeah, thank you very much for reminding me, John.
Yeah, no one is sorrier than I am about the, well, I shouldn't say that. Everybody's sorry about it, about the change in the tax law, but mm-hmm. if you've got one of those reserve spots, it really hits you. Because those things are so dang expensive.
Well, the issue is that we've had several people look at this, and we don't see where it applies to UCF at all. So I think this may be like the issue we had a few years back with an auditor claiming something that wasn't true, that Jim Gilkison flagged. So we've had a number of people look at it, and we're not seeing it.
You bring your tax opinion, and we'll bring ours.
Yeah.
We'll fight it out among the tax lawyers.
Yeah, I mean, it seems pretty clear, but we'll have to talk about that. Okay. All right, so it looks like you have two for us.
Well, I thought we'd let you start off since you've got
ones.
A...
Yeah, we have quite a pile.
Crazy bunch, so...
Yeah. So why don't we start with our pile? Save on some of the costs. We only have a couple of the printed versions, but Charlie, we'll give you the electronic versions.
You saw the on drive.
Yeah, I already copied your files.
Okay. Okay.
Over.
Give
me the other black and white.
Okay.
Thank you. I don't care.
We have an extra one.
What's the handout?
This is the one on consultation.
Is there one for me?
Oh, yeah, sorry. We don't have much of an audience today. Pretty
first
too many copies.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, that's why. You're right.
First week of classes?
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's crazed.
Yeah.
Okay, so walk you through the changes here. So in lines 27 and 28, highlighted in gray, that was language that, check and make sure. Yeah, right. Okay, so that's language that you had proposed striking out. Okay, so we've agreed to that. And then the only other small change we made in yellow there, just because we felt like saying specific grievances was redundant and didn't really capture what we were after. It was ongoing grievances. That might be a better substitution. So those are the only two changes we've made there.
Okay. So this is basically status quo, or close to it.
Pretty close.
Yeah, okay.
And you can see that there's a fair section struck out.
Yeah. Okay.
In the middle there.
Okay.
There's a lot of those in black and white. Okay, so this is the UFF privileges article. And if we go to page 2, on lines 64 and 65, and we talked a little bit about this in our last conversation about this article, we're suggesting having the restricting the number of releases at the department level rather than at the college level, because it's really the departments that have to deal with folks who are not teaching courses or getting course releases, and it's not really affecting the college level quite as much. And then literally the other, I believe literally the only other change we made is in line 83, this was adopting your language where you struck out non-teaching and made it non-instructional.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
That's okay. I'm good.
Okay, the first thing is, let's see. I think we're okay on this. I thought this might be our number 3. It's right the way I have it, yeah. Number 2. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So On the first page on line 24, and Mason caught this for us the last time, and we agreed that the "and" should really be an "or" in that sentence right there. And then on page 2 at the very top, on line 47 that's highlighted, we talked a fair bit on our side about your concern that when we did the layoffs, that if you have folks who have contracts and grants that have got external funding, that it would be unusual for them to be laid off when they still have that funding and it's separate and apart from the university, even though it's funneled through and all that. And so that language was our way of trying to incorporate that idea,
okay,
of just making the employees who have that CNG funded positions, they're not subject to those, to the provisions that are above it.
Yeah.
So that we think will insulate them from any effect during the layoff, and so then they can continue on the contracts and grants and fulfill the deliverables and all the things that they do.
Yeah. Okay.
And then on page 3, and this was just a minor one, we had agreed with the little change in wording that you guys had offered in lines 109 and 110.
Oh, okay.
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 So
any
that's
questions?
No. I don't think so. Okay.
Okay. So that was 4. Do you want to give us one, or and then maybe take our first caucus of the day, or see where we
are?
Yeah,
we can do that.
Good.
Because otherwise, we've got this whole big stack, and it's going to get tough to organize it.
I think everything probably is self-explanatory, don't you think? Is the yellow, Charlie, that does it?
I think it's a change from last time, perhaps.
Yeah. I think we're trying to make it clear that tenure is available to full-time employees, because sometimes you get people who are not full-time and think they can go up for tenure, so that's not what we want. If departments want to modify criteria, they have to, majority of the tenured faculty in the department or unit or the dean have to initiate the change, and it has to be approved by a majority of secret ballot of the department or unit's tenured faculty and approval by the university's representative. I think most of it is not much different than what we put down before. A couple of little changes, but wording changes here and there, but I think it's pretty pretty self-explanatory.
So the yellow are the changes?
The yellow are the changes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remind me again of what the definition of a provisional employee is.
Provisional employee would be someone, for instance, who's DBA and hasn't.
DBA?
ABD.
Oh, ABD.
ABD.
ABD. Okay, ABD. Okay.
Database industry.
Yeah. All but dissertation.
Okay.
So a lot of times we'll offer employment to them for, you know, offering them employment but provisional until they receive their PhD, and then they can become regular employees, and they roll smoothly into that if that all transitions. Otherwise, if they don't get it, then they're excused.
Said with a smile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More time to complete.
Ken, do you have any other questions, John?
I was stuck on that because I couldn't remember what provisional was.
Yeah, we don't use it very often. I mean, it's not a common.
Well, that's why I think I got hung up on it.
I was
trying to think of examples. I couldn't come up with one.
But yeah, that was good, Charlie. Thanks.
No, compulsory leave has always been around. It's in the leave section.
It's nothing on this list before.
Yeah, but compulsory leave is just when someone.
We have used it at times when people have had extended illnesses, and
it gives them time to be able to return to the university, but if they can't do that within a year, then the university, it's in Article 17 if you want to look it up.
It's really when someone's incapacitated.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay.
They've already exhausted their FMLA, things like that.
Yeah.
And that was in Article 17, Charlie?
Mm-hmm. 17. It's on page 66 of the book. 17 point. I've got 17 is. I don't think you ever find the numbers.
Oh, I see. Okay, it's part C there at the bottom.
Yeah.
We have a lot of different kinds of leave.
Yeah. Yes, we do. 8-4-C-1.
Okay.
Anyway.
That one, we understand, we see that. And then on lines 89 through 91,
mm-hmm.
So the current practice, right, is that folks who have part-time service, that accrues toward their tenure-earning service. And so why the change of striking that?
Anybody in that category, if you're doing something where your FTE is that low, it's usually because there's leave, which gives you another kind of extension of your tenure clock automatically. So if you're ill and that's the reason that you're at half or half time, then it's not hurting you. But we don't have anybody who is part-time. We need full-time employees.
If you're on parental leave, any of those where you are.
Remember, we're not talking CNG. We're only talking ENG.
Yeah.
Lecturers, not people on visiting. Those don't exist. We're only talking people who are tenure track, and we need them to be here full-time.
But if they're on any kind of approved leave, they're automatically, their tenure clock is extended, so.
It keeps the university from hiring someone at less than a full 1.0 FTE and then having them still be on the tenure clock when they're not being compensated for a full-time research position. Do you see what I'm saying? You need time to be able to do your research and your teaching. And that would offer a chance, I think, to exploit someone.
Yeah, the only thing I'm concerned about are you get some of these, like, looking in the future, we may not have anybody who falls in this category now, but someone who a federal agency may tap them to for their expertise, and I can't remember the term for this. I did it one time. Noah grabbed me.
Like the White House grabbed you as a special
counsel? Yeah.
Such and so?
Yeah, I can't remember the...
Is that an IPA?
Yes, exactly, Interagency Personnel Agreement. So something like that where someone...
So they're on leave from the university?
Or they're not they're on leave, that they're on... They're part of their salary is...
They're bought out.
They're being bought out, essentially.
Then they're at 1.0 FTE.
Even if the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have somebody who's working for the St. John's Water Management District. His whole salary and fringe is coming from that entity, but he's 1.0 here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think about it. Yeah, that's right, because my paycheck still came from Charleston and didn't come from Noah. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we did a different deal because they did it so late that they basically did it as an overload. They paid for it. Well, I'm not going to say anything on the record. Just shut my mouth while I'm ahead before I get colleagues in trouble.
It's deceptive. You forget that thing is running because we're so used to it.
I know. Well, I'm just trying to make sure that, you know, we're covered for things down the road, too. Well, we can think about this during caucus. That's what
caucus.
Instead of having blank air time and you guys waiting on
right.
my brain to chug along.
All right. Well, let's
do you want to give them something off. Else, or do you want to go to caucus?
Well, I think we should focus on what we have because we might be able to get some agreements on some of these things.
Okay. Oh, okay. And there was one that was hanging over from last time that we thought we were really, really close to.
Is that evaluation?
No, yeah. It was one of those short little articles.
Yeah, I think we have it in our pile.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I forget what it was. You know, one of those things. This
it was 28 or 29. It was one of those.
Miscellaneous.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you have that one, we could get that one too. If you wanted to look at things that we're close to.
Ah, you're going to make me go out of order.
we can come back. We're good, John.
You're good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can do it.
We'll do it. Well, we got lots of time. We're going to get a long day.
We're good.
Okay. Oh, you'll check on the scheduling for us for.
That's the plan.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Did you have something for... I did want to...
Oh. We want to give you our promotion
okay, good.
Version
okay.
first, and then...
And we have an Article 8 on appointment.
Ah, okay, good.
We went through everything we were given during our caucus, and we're going to... respond, I think, next time we meet.
Okay.
We talked about, we looked at our calendars for September, and unfortunately, because of several of our travel schedules, we're kind of out a bunch. So we tried to look at very early October, and we have October 4th available if you want to schedule another session for that day. If you're available on the 4th of October.
It's a 10 to 2, same time?
Well,
no, we're not going to do 4 hours on, because we've got an arbitration that week. And
we have a lot going on that week.
Yeah, and it's only a week after the previous one. There's no way we can fill 4 hours after just a week's break.
But we could still get the, I think we could still get a lot done.
On October 4th.
Okay. So what do you, 10 to 1 instead of 10 to 2?
Is that date open for you guys?
Yes.
Okay, good.
October 4th.
10 o'clock till
should we, should
10
we,
to 2?
10 to noon. What did you say?
10 to noon?
On the 4th.
What about?
Is 11 to 1 okay?
11 to 1 would work with me.
Because I'll probably drive that morning.
Okay.
Not that I complain.
The later you push it in the morning, the earlier we have to get there anyway, because you'll never find a park at 11 o'clock.
Well, I'll copter in. But, yeah.
How about till 11 till 2? We can probably, we'll probably have enough.
So you're looking for noon to 2, John?
Well, Mike said, did you say 11?
I said 11.
11 to 1, I think, will work for us.
You can't go till 2? So split it to?
Nope. Not willing to do that. Not with only a week's break in between and an arbitration.
Yeah, we're going to be tied up that week for a couple
it's
days.
Just not.
Okay. All right, so we'll add that 11 to
1.
Why did that not add?
And we'll look at November and December. We still got issues on, you know, fall is just a tough time.
Okay.
You don't know the location, TBA.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. So do you want us to start with
sure.
a few more of ours?
Yeah, that'd be great, John.
Okay. Let me get my notes so I can point out where the changes are.
This goes away because we don't have the letters of the sign. This goes away because I got it. So you get one.
Yeah. Like everybody else in the universe.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the non-reappointment article. And what I've got is on page 3. You can see the big section on the bottom that's in gray. I believe most of that language came from you guys, and with some changes that we've proposed that are highlighted in yellow. So. Oh, yeah, what does it look like on the gray? Can you even see the difference? It's lighter. Yeah.
So the idea is that this is a payout, right? So it's a, there's a, someone's going to be non-renewed, and the university, for whatever reason, may have wished to just offer to buy the person out of their contract. So then that should be an offer that's made to the employee, and they can select that if they want. But then we wanted to make sure that when you're talking about the amount to be paid, less withholding, that equals to the salary, but also has the other, that the withholding amount includes continuing the retirement insurance and social security things for that portion of the time period.
See what the statute says about that. But. Anything else in here different than what you gave us in the first one?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. And here's the promotion proposal. I should just print it off the first page. Yeah, so the only change is in line on the first page, lines 34 and 35. So one of the things that was brought to our attention was that especially the specialists in computer research, but also some of the other positions that are similar, have left UCF because their position doesn't include any promotion steps, and so then their salary doesn't remain competitive with the outside world. And so what we've proposed is to address that is not beginning now, but beginning next year, allow those position classifications to have ranks that are equal or equivalent to the assistant, associate, and full, the same way we've done with instructors and lecturers. So it doesn't necessarily have to have those words, assistant, associate, full. It's whatever the corresponding terms would be in those disciplines or those fields. But to have those steps. So then those folks have a pathway to the promotion. So that folks are doing well, we get promoted and get an increase in their salary and not be tempted to go work for someone else rather than staying here working with us.
Wouldn't we have to amend our certification to do that?
What does that mean?
You have to
add titles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to go to court if you add titles.
like we did that for instructional designers, right? Recently, mm-hmm. they've got promotion steps.
Yeah, which we haven't filed that yet, but I need to get on that. And they may say no, in which case we'll be in trouble, but hopefully not.
Okay.
That's the idea anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we knew that wouldn't, you know, that's not something that can be done immediately, because then you also need to have the criteria for promotion and all that stuff. So there needs to be some time span to get that work done.
Hmm?
And then I guess also with the perk, too.
I said perk.
Perk.
So anytime you add classifications to a certificate, to the contract, you have to get
it. Could be the same thing. I mean, I'm
should have been perk as well.
Got it.
Ready for another one?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so the only change is right in the very, in yellow or highlighted on line 5. So last time, or maybe it was the time before, Mike had mentioned that putting in that for just cause phrase really kind of put the teeth back into that section and made it sound disciplinary, mm-hmm. when I think we've established that letters of counseling or instruction are intended to be disciplinary. And so that was a step in the wrong direction, really. So we struck that phrase out.
Okay.
To try to keep the tone and the content as well where it needed to be. But then the rest is identical to our previous proposal.
Okay.
One more?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Okay. So this is grievance procedure and arbitration.
Mm-hmm.
We have multiple colors going on in this one, because we had already adopted some of the changes that you'd offered previously.
We just have gray.
Yeah, most of those are gray. Yeah,
okay. Well,
it's all right.
I'm organized this time, so I can tell you what lines and oops, which lines to look at. So on page 3, on line 128, that was just a change to the using universities representatives. So that was language that you guys have offered several times. And we'll try to keep our eyes open for that one as well, get that language all the same. And then the other one is in line 278. And the context is about refusal to accept delivery,
mm-hmm.
And the language change that you offered the last time was to the address indicated in the university's records, and that's fair to everybody. I mean, folks should be keeping their records up to date, and if that's the address you've got, that's the address it should be delivered to. And so that seemed, you know, perfectly agreeable to us. And then the rest is the same as our previous proposal.
Okay.
We have an Article 8. One of the things that we're attempting to do with our version of Article 8 is to get out of the annual contract business. Isn't that right, Sherry? Is that fair to say? So what someone would do is they would receive a contract, an agreement, and then that agreement would remain in place unless it's amended. So there would be one, like, everyone would get an agreement, and then that agreement could be subject to amendment.
Which is what the rest of the university does. I mean, I've gotten two contracts since I've been here.
Yeah,
one when I was hired and one in 2006 when I was appointed provost staff. So there was a change in my butt.
So instead of having the annual contract that comes out in May, whatever it is, and then
you're just on continuing appointment. Yeah. Because it's a...
So we'll wait till everyone gets an 8 in front of them, but we're kind of stepping out of that business.
Holy smokes.
Well, I mean...
Holy smokes. And then...
The pen has come out.
Because none of that is applicable if you don't have an annual agreement, so...
Okay, I'm sure we're going to have questions about this, but go ahead,
sure.
Mike.
The two things that I want to point out is 8.7 overload appointment is struck, but we're striking that and moving it, right? And
yeah, we're moving that into the salary.
We're not striking it out of the contract. We're proposing to move it to salaries.
Okay. We were actually proposing to move it. One of our proposals that we're still working on, we might give you today, is proposing moving it to its own section.
Okay.
Along with the other things that are like supplemental appointments. So we're of the same mind that things need to get reorganized.
Get reorganized.
And then 8.9 we have struck, but we actually want to restore it. We want to keep that in. We don't
know. We did that.
So it was mistaken.
Crazy with that line through. So 8.9.
Yeah, and
remains.
8. What is it now? I guess 8.1, where it's change in appointments. We added language to make what we always thought was clear, but apparently it's not.
I'm sorry, Sherry, where are you?
I'm on line 56
through 76.
That we have the option of changing people from a 12 to a 9 or a 9 to a 12, and the employee may also request a change in the length of appointment. So it works both ways. It's not solely the purview of the employee.
Yeah, that's going to cause difficulties because of the possibility of bait and switch, right? That you offer someone a 12-month appointment, especially if the previous language is struck, that they... You know, that they have the impression, it would be easy for them to get the impression that that's going to continue on, that that's their normal appointment, then all of a sudden, oh no, we drop it down to 9 months.
Well, we have that ability to do that now. We have assignment. We're able to do that now. If we did that, the 81.82 gives that person an increase in pay. If their duties remain essentially the same. So this isn't talking about bringing someone into an administrative assignment and putting them back. It's not about that. It's someone whose duties would stay the same.
I don't agree with what you just said.
No. Charlie, you mentioned a provision policy somewhere that says if you get changed to a 9-month appointment, your salary would remain the same. You just condense your duties into 9 months instead of 12?
No, it's the language. I think she's referring to the language in C now B, which is line 69 through 76, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Which is the salary conversion.
Yeah.
That's where the 81 and the
133. That's what you were referring to.
I thought, I'm sorry, I thought that's what you were talking about. I was sorry. Maybe I wasn't hearing properly.
So, but it's really clear on the status quo language that this is at the employee's discretion, because it says an employee may request it. There's none of the...
I disagree with that, because it's always been the university's ability to do that. This just is the way of making sure the employee knows that they can request
the contract.
That ability.
Not according to the contract.
Well, I think it depends. Well, we can argue that, but... And I'm sure we will be soon. We have an arbitration coming soon, but another in the long line of them. But if that is the current understanding, then it was not our understanding, and we want to change that. So that's what bargaining is for.
So I had a question about the employment agreement with 8.3. So you struck out that all that section. So what will be on the initial offer? It doesn't say anything about the initial like what the initial offer would be or the requirements of the initial offer.
The initial contract would be essentially the same as it is now.
Okay.
We're not changing the initial contract. We're not changing the contract. We're just saying you don't have to get it every year, and we don't need all this stuff. I don't know that we would.
It's difficult to change the contract.
Yeah.
So can you point me to where the language is, it says that the contract stays the same from one year to the next until it's amended?
Because that was what you said initially, was kind of the thematic change or the structural change, but
I'm just not seeing it right off the bat.
Okay, well, we may not have an explicit statement to that effect. We can certainly add one. I think what we'd probably do is just 8.3, say all appointments should be made on university employment agreement signed by the university representative and the employee, and just add a statement that will be the only employment contract unless something has changed, unless their duties are changed.
Then that contract would include these elements in it, right?
Yes.
Oh, the original 8.3 on the fifth page you took about there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
John, I have a suggestion about that we can talk about.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Okay. Why don't we...
You want to give him 9?
We might take the contract. Yeah, I should go get it. It's over.
Or we could take a caucus now.
Okay.
Yeah. Why don't we take a caucus now? Because we were thinking about a different reorganization than what you've got.
Sure.
So.
And then you look at the little one that we were hoping we could get T8 on from last time.
How are we doing on time?
Yeah, we have a couple more to
write a new view that would be useful.
Resuscitate this one alone.
That's the problem with the little 2 points. They just
yeah, I want to have a backup though, because you know we had the issues before. So
there we go.
We have an Article 9. This is our first proposal on 9.
Yeah.
And I think the yellow is new language?
Yes. Actually, a lot of what has been stricken, not all, but most of what's been stricken in 9.1 has just been moved into 9.2 because it seemed like it made more sense when you're talking about considerations and assignment, things like not imposing assignments arbitrarily or unreasonably. That made more sense in that section and under policy. So, but that's just. We also made some changes because one of the things that has come to our attention, not just in this area, but in areas like evaluations, and we've talked about this before, that because your unit is kind of oddly comprised, you've got some A&P people and people that aren't really traditional faculty, that we don't address them very well. So we tried to make some changes where we talked about, that this is what makes sense for faculty employees or instructional employees. This is what makes sense for people who are on, for A&P employees. So just to kind of try to reflect some of those changes or some of those differences. I think everything else is pretty self-explanatory. The instructional technology piece, some of that will be in Article 18, and some that we just felt was no longer relevant, so we struck it.
And we should have 18 next time we meet.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't think we changed anything in the ADR procedure except the stuff like the university's representative. We're still trying to catch all those things. But otherwise, and we struck the thing about having to get together to agree on a mediator panel. I know you're probably going to, your state people are going to say we have to do that. So, I mean, I recognize we may have to put that back in. But if we do, I think some of the things in there we need to change because it's almost impossible to find people who are certified, who are familiar with academic assignments at Florida universities. I mean, that was aspirational language when we put it in, but it's very difficult to do. So I think probably basically we'll go with something like they have to be certified and they're acceptable to both parties and are willing to serve, So that's our Article 9 for your perusal.
Okay. Desperately trying to assemble ours, so months and months and months now.
Yeah,
so we'll try to get ours back to you the next
some
time.
Some of these articles, that one I'm sure is tough for you. 18 is just kind of bare. There's some that are just really hard to
which
deal
one
with.
Is 18 again?
That's 18. Inventions and works.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's intellectual property.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, on our side, we have a whole bunch. We have about four lawyers in the research division that all want to weigh in, and I think I get it done, and then I send it to them for a final review, and then I get back, well, I hadn't thought about this, but I'm not sure this is going to work. Please.
Yeah, at some point it has to be done, right?
Yeah.
Okay. My whole organizational scheme. All right, this goes in here. All right, so since we were talking about Article 8 before the break, let me give you our Article 8. We were of similar mind that in need to be some reorganization on this one. Just that we went a little bit different direction than you did.
Thank you.
But I think we're both recognizing the same difficulty that we've got. We have 9 and 12 month employees, and we have basically faculty that have instructional duties, and then faculty who don't, decidedly don't. And that maybe we need to.
Yeah, you got
clinical. Just recognize that and just make separate sections and not try to do it all at once.
Because you've got all these clinical people and research people who just do nothing but research. Yeah.
And it may be that if just like we did a couple of years ago, if we're getting tangled up in one section, or if like 18 is tangling us up, we can just go to leave it status quo and just have it as one of our reopeners.
I think we can get to 18. I mean, I think there's just like one point that I'm still negotiating with my own team, shall we say, on that one.
Well, just as,
a
way to move us forward. So let's see, this one. Oh, this is a good one because this is our first one. So the reds are additions. So 8.2 is just moving into the contract.
The regulation.
The regulation and the prevailing methods that are used. Way down at the bottom on line 51, putting into the employment agreement what the budget entity is, because that may affect the benefits and rights and things like that. And lines 59 and 60, in addition to having the percent of the full-time effort assigned.
Budget entity is already there.
I was going to say.
It's J.
Is it?
It is.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah. I remember adding it. That's why.
Yeah, we did that on the reopener.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, thank you. That's my bad.
It messes up all my numbering when you do that. So.
Sorry, Charlie. That was me. Okay, so in lines 59 and 60, what we're proposing is, in addition to the effort, putting in not just the percent of full-time effort, but what are the responsibilities in the different assigned areas, so that folks have that and know that right away. And then on line 61 to 67, for the salary, you have a line that would be the salary, but what we're proposing is to put in the floors that we've established in the last two contracts, that the starting salary won't be lower than those thresholds, which are the same ones we had in the prior two contracts, but just with the inflation rate compounded in. On line 75 and 76, putting in explicitly so that folks will know and can make decisions about, well, first whether to sign a contract or not, but also where to buy a home and things like that. If they're going to have assignments to a second instructional location, if they have to shuttle between main campus and Lake Mona or here in downtown, whatever the case may be. And then any other special commitments from the university that were negotiated, so that we've got everything all in one place. And so that folks have those and they're written. On line 82, we added in "and this agreement," so they realize that there are things in the contract, a lot of things in the contract, that they're agreeing to abide by. That it's not optional. And this may be most important for some of our new faculty who are coming from other countries where they don't know. Well, even some of our colleagues from North America don't realize that they get this little green book or whatever in their faculty orientation, and it's the first time they realize that there's a whole contract here. So just making them aware that there's a lot of stuff that they're supposed to be doing. Line 84. Eventually, we have to come to some resolution about the pregnancy and/or parental status. So we're being consistent with our non-discrimination proposal and putting it in there.
8.4, just putting in a section that says that those written commitments are real commitments, they're not optional, and that they should be observed unless there's some good reason that they wouldn't be. Like, if someone's negotiated that in the third year of their contract they're going to get some highfalutin machine for $50,000, and then it becomes obvious that that machine's obsolete and there's a better one that costs less, then you could switch that. And then what you'll see towards the back, and then we highlighted it on lines 235 and 236, is essentially taking everything that wouldn't be in an annual contract, that would be the summer contracts, and putting that into its own article.
Okay, sort of the same idea we had.
I think we're totally independently, because we hadn't talked about this before, we're recognizing where we've got some unusual circumstances, and maybe we better try to reorganize our contract and address those. So here's the first.
John, there's some changes in 8.7 to 239,
241. Oh, yeah, so the reclassification is just requiring notification if someone's going in or coming out, so we can keep track of who's in or who's out of the bargaining unit. Because right now it's only if they're moved out.
Mm-hmm.
But we would need notification of them being moved back in, too.
Digest there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ready for the next one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the what we proposed as putting in its own article. Into their separate section is that overloads and summer appointments, well, overloads could be with a 12-month employee as well, but they would be additions to their contract. But then the supplemental summer appointments would apply to 9-month people, and the study abroad really applies to 9-month people because it would be in the summer, right? If there anybody who's either on 12-month or a 9-month mm-hmm. contract during the academic year, that would be part of their assignment.
Load. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the rationale behind it.
Okay. So you're now, if I'm reading this right, proposing to take the what was the overload payment for premium tuition programs and making that the default for all overload.
Right. And then on lines 31 to 34, I think most departments have this, but since we've got new departments and new units forming, we thought it would be best to have in that the employees need to develop and approve by majority vote some written criteria and rotation policy so that the summer teaching appointments are equitable. And different departments have different ways of doing it, like biology. Priority goes to the folks who are newly hired, and then anybody who teaches a course goes to the bottom of the list, and then it just cycles like that. I think in philosophy, you guys said you went
senior people get the first pick on the way down, but junior people get a first pick for a second course.
Yeah, so they're doing it a serpentine pattern. So there are different ways that you can have an equitable arrangement, and there's no sense. You know, they like their way of doing it. Biology likes its way of doing it. It's equitable either way. So just let the departments have a policy. As long as it's clear and everybody understands it and it's being followed, that should be good. And then this is another one of those organizational things. So in lines on page 2, lines 51 to 57, so we've established in the contract, and it's been at least as long as I've been on the bargaining team, probably a lot longer, that if you got a teaching assignment, it has all the other expectations you would have during the normal semester, right? But if you don't have a teaching assignment, if you got a research or service, or could have service, I guess, administrative or other activities, then these are non-teaching. And so then if folks are doing other credit-generating activities in the summer, like advising graduate students and things like that, they should be compensated for performing, you know, those jobs. Because those are also being reported to the state as that's part of what you're doing. And so what we did is just figured out a compensation rate, which is basically what the university would charge if you're doing this as a grant or a contract. So it's a tuition rate times one less than the FNA rate, so it pulls the FNA rate out and then divides that through by the one plus the faculty fringe benefit rate. So it's taking into account that you've got fringe benefits that faculty are accruing. So that's a...
Okay, John, I want to make sure I understand that formula. Because of the way the track changes work, I can't see the division line. Is that...
Right, exactly. I was just about to say that. So if you're looking at that going, huh, that makes doesn't...
That was my next
question. You
got to
look at it with track changes on, so we'll make sure you get
the line between
track.
59 and 60 is a divided line, the tuition rate.
Yeah, there's a divided line, but you just can't see it. Exactly. And then we put down what the computed rate is, so you can just see it. You don't have to go back to the calculations, but... that allows for adjustments during the term of the contract or whatever. And then on line 67 and 68, and you'll see this again in language in a second in, I guess it's Article 27. We have a lot of employees who are basically being harassed into doing things, and so this is language that we feel is necessary to put a damper on some of that behavior of people being coerced, basically, in some cases, or very close to it, implored, asked over and over and over repeatedly, and called into department into meetings with their supervisor for things like taking or not taking a summer appointment, or doing advising when they're not being paid for it, or even, you know, paid parental leave. So there's a lot of that going on. And that's really bad behavior, and it's affecting especially the female faculty quite heavily.
So people are being implored to take paid parental leave?
Implored not to take it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, implored not to take it.
I haven't had a single report of that, just so you know.
That's because those reports come to us. We're hearing a lot of them.
Right, but it needs to come to someone who can do something. You know what I mean? Like, we can do something if I know of it. So I can't do anything if I don't care about it. You've got to be able to get that information to me.
So you agree with Shelley that this is a better, that people shouldn't be employing people that not take parental leave?
I think we'd like to hear about it. We're hearing about it now. We'd like to hear from the people involved and understand exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want people to be coerced into not taking something that they have a contractual right to, certainly.
Well, it's happening a lot. You know, and then our advice is to tell people, just stand up for your rights and point to the contract, and we'll come in and stand beside you if you need to. But it's happening a lot.
Again, not one single person's come forward. Now, we have an integrity line, too, where they can report it, and they haven't come to me through that either. So integrity line is it's an anonymous way to report something like that. I would suggest that they might want to try that option if they, I don't know, sorry.
Yeah, but it would be hard because for them to, in order for them, I mean, in theory, that's a good idea because it would be anonymous, but for things like paid parental leave, they'd have to identify who the unit chair is and then the probability there's more than one person who's in the condition to
I can't imagine that someone wants someone working when you just have a baby anyway. Because
no, that's no, it happens all the time.
I can't. Right. Well, it's hard for me to envision because I haven't seen the circumstances because it hasn't come to our office at all.
Okay.
Just letting you know that we would be there to enforce the contract.
No, we hope so.
It's like a dark brig of crime, only like a handful of actual crime come to the attention of police, but the actual crime rate is much higher.
So then in lines 83 to 85, we're proposing to set ahead of time what the minimum course numbers are. For the study abroad program, so there's some certainty in that of what they are, and that if you need to go lower, it's lower, but that would have to be with the permission of the department or the unit chair. So if there are good reasons, you know, the nature of the program and things like that, or the location require fewer people. 91 and 92 is just straightening up the language, it's grammatical. Then 102 to 112 is not aggregating those courses again. And I just noticed that the numbering then didn't get carried down.
There's no ambiguity about it.
Yep.
It's just a different organizational scheme. So you guys are cutting the top end, we're moving the bottom end. It suggests that, okay, well, the middle is probably all right.
I'm adding a lot of things, but yes. Okay.
But somewhere we've got to do something with the beginnings and the ends.
Let's do this one since it's just an update. Are we ready for the next one?
Yeah,
sure. Okay.
And this one is really straightforward because there's only one change, and it's on line three of updating the year, okay. And the rest is the same as our previous proposal. And since we just talked about it. So this is the article on maintenance and rights of benefits. Of rights and benefits.
Oh, I forgot about this.
Yeah, so we remember this one from way back when we had a discussion about.
Yes, I do. Same discussion we just had on.
Yeah, the status quo language is required or coerced, and. So we wanted some language about
begging.
Yeah, begging, pleading, trying to find the right word. We had asked last time, and I think it was Mike that said that he wasn't comfortable with that word, and we were trying to come up with a better word. And somewhere over the last couple of weeks, we said implored, because that's what's happening. It's, you know, begging or pleading has a negative connotation to it, but imploring is.
is kind of the right tone.
Maybe like repeated asking, not just asking
mm-hmm.
once.
Yeah.
To beseech.
No, once is okay. Twice, all right, you know, they're just kind of doubling back and making sure you got your mind made up. But once three, four, five times, like, okay, now you've crossed the line. So we're hoping that word captures the essence of it a little bit better.
Okay.
If that word's not good, I don't know. You'll have to find another one for us.
Harassed.
Well, to say you can use that. You can ask three times.
Yeah, it's the old baseball. Three strikes, you're out. Okay. Right. This one's the miscellaneous provisions. So this is one that I think we were pretty close on last time. And what we did is we tracked it off of your proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And so things that we'd agreed to, we just turned off, we just accepted them.
Okay.
So now what we're proposing that's slightly different from you is right there in red.
Okay.
So on line 14, the status quo language is 10 days, which
mm-hmm.
doesn't provide much time if we're in a holiday, you know, over the winter break and things like that. So we're suggesting 10 days, which is two full, basically, business weeks. Two work weeks would be good. We noticed that president or president's representative and switched it over while we caught it.
That's going to drive us crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's almost easier to just do a global search and replace at the last step.
Sign off on each one.
Maybe we should just agree to do that. On line 21, putting in position classification just to make it really clear what we're talking about. And then on lines 24 and 25, having recourse to grievance if people feel like they're being inappropriately classified.
Okay.
Got another proposal for salaries to give you. The first three there, Mike, are color ones, and the other ones are black and white.
Thank you, you're the best.
Okay, and so the changes, I believe, are all in yellow, but a couple of them are kind of small, so. On line 22, sort of looking forward, we thought, okay, what's the fastest we could possibly get this ratified if we have a miracle and agree to everything really soon? We thought, okay, September 14th, we were being probably optimistic. So that was why that changed. But on line 24, there's a major change there, that, especially if you got the black and white version, may be hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've done is proposed an across-the-board increase of 2%.
Mm-hmm.
And then on line 41, having the same 2% for merit increase.
Okay.
So that's a total of 4%, which, if you look at where inflation is right now, and also recognize that this past year versus inflation, there was a 7/10 loss, it's barely keeping up with inflation. And we'll know the last year's numbers. When's our next bargaining date?
23rd.
Yeah, we'll know first. We'll have the unrevised estimate by then. It comes out around September 11th. So we should have those by then. Then, because we're getting into the part where we're now past the, we'll be past the end of the expiration of the contract, in lines 34 to 37, putting in the across, the one-time payment in lieu of retroactive. And then we just put in a, the payment is twice the prorated across the board salary increase during that time interval. So just so we have a set formula so we don't have to keep revising it down the road. Let's see. Oh, wait, whoa. Ah.
Someone?
No, you're not supposed to have that version. Can I have that back? You're supposed to have version two. This version two?
This is the number two.
Okay. I'm looking at the wrong version.
Oh.
Well, maybe we should have that version.
Oh, my God. Heart attack. I need a minute.
Well, take your time.
All right, take a minute.
We're having a heart attack over here, too.
You had to write it a long drawn. You were just looking at the wrong piece of paper right now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You had
it right.
Yeah,
it was right.
Yeah.
That's why we hadn't noticed. It was so
long. You want us to leave the room for 5 minutes unless you
I need to
get
just go
together.
For a walk, but we're coming down on the time. I'll be glad when this year is over.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't believe it would stay so full time. I wouldn't have bothered.
All right, I wanted to look ahead to make sure that those are the, other than the changing the date on line 57 of the September 14th for the equity salary increases that we proposed, those are the only changes in this.
Okay.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure of that before I told you mm-hmm. that.
Well, we're not TAing this anyway, John, so don't worry about it.
I know, but. I'm like,
so,
oh,
yeah, I was taken out of the last one because line 48, ADI, is completely stripped out of this one.
And, no? Line 48?
Did maybe I get the wrong one?
488.
No, it's in there.
Here, John, is this your heart attack one? If so,
it's in here.
Is it proposal
here.
One? Do you have one?
They have the discretion.
Okay, someone give me a new one that I can.
Here.
Sorry.
Sorry.
There's extra copies of
the
black
and
white one here.
Mm-hmm. I give her one.
We would have given it to you, John. See, I coughed it up. I didn't take any pictures of it.
I got it. I gave her one, John.
I have one. Thank you, now. I just need one for the record.
Okay. Any questions from the team?
I don't think so.
Any questions from Ms. Piper over there?
Well, I have to review the new
the non-heart attack version.
The non-heart attack version.
It's not going to be a heart attack. It'll be a stroke.
Heart attacks are better.
I know. Yeah. The left side of my face melts. Oh. That's what it is.
I mean, you don't want either, but in the choice, I'll take a heart attack over a stroke.
I'm not going to have a choice.
I know that you said there's no changes, and then this is just a thing, but the 12-month payment option... You say the first day of the fall semester.
I'm sorry, Charlie, where are you?
Sorry, page 12. For the and it's it, this isn't important or dramatic or anything. I was just the first day of the fall semester. I have found that some people have differing ideas about what the first day of the fall semester. If you ask me, I'm going to say that's 8/8. If you ask somebody else, they're going to say it was August 20. I just wanted to let you think about that.
Oh, so you're up at line 523?
Yeah, it says the first day of the fall semester. I just wanted to say When you say the first day of the fall semester, do you mean 8-8 or do you mean like this year was 8-20 for the first day of the students coming in for the fall semester? Which day do you mean when you say that? Just so I know.
Yeah, I've got to read through this section again.
Which one are we on?
5:23.
Is there any reason why it shouldn't be August 8th?
Yeah.
No, that's why I'm trying to remember. Why do we suggest that change?
Just to make it not an arbitrary and changing every year date? But
it's not a big deal, John. I was just curious what you thought. That's all. It's not.
No,
I'm not quibbling. I just was curious.
The official start of the academic year has been August 8th. As long as I know, that's not something that's been changing.
I agree, but some people will tell me something quite different. They'll say, my first day is August 20th, is what I will hear from people. That doesn't mean that it's right, I'm not wanting to pick a fight, I just want it
to
be clear. And I felt like August 8th was clear, John, but it's okay,
I mean, I'm seeing what you're saying, Charlie. August 8th is, definitive, and then the first day of the fall semester.
Is every year it always August 8th?
Yes.
That's the start of our conference.
Good by me.
Well, we'll try to put our heads together and see if there was a reason for that.
No,
I'm not sure why we would have changed it if we didn't have something in mind. Because it's not a change that we usually would make, going from a precise date to one that's.
Well, unless we were somehow under the impression that. Is a slightly different day of different years.
And it may have been in your last version, John, and I didn't, I don't know. I don't have any other questions. I don't think it's pretty solid.
No, that was in the last version.
Yeah.
We'll have to see if we had a reason or if we were just being stupid.
I'm not going to call you stupid.
I'll call myself stupid all the time.
So no questions. Sounds like no questions from over there.
No more questions from the peanut gallery.
All right. No questions. All right.
So next time you're bringing us.
Well, we're definitely bringing you 18. I don't know what else we'll be bringing. Responses to some of these, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I think it was 18, and we have to bring you 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then responses. And then we got to start TAing stuff.
John, do you have all these on
well,
the recorder?
That'll be a trick.
On the
Yeah, you TA yours, John, we'll TA ours. And then
I'll put them on for you, Charlie.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's the way we'll do it.
We'll have two contracts.
We'll do it like a draft.
Yeah, we'll have two contracts left.
You pick one article and then we'll pick the next one.
All right. Shall I turn off the recorder?
I had that change.
Shall I turn off the recorder?
I think you can.
Yeah, I think
Thank you.